The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm Jason Matosian, along with my co-host, Roger Behramian. And on this episode, we are going to consider once again the topic of lament and try and explore it in some further detail. But, Roger, before we get started on our topic, I have a question for you as we want our listeners to get to know you a little better.
Okay.
Roger, where did you take Lilith for your first date and why?
It was the Cheesecake Factory in Sherman Oaks at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, I remember. Why? I wanted to pick a nice restaurant to go to for our first date. It was a nice area along with the opportunity to walk around after and sit and talk and have coffee. So, and that's actually been our go-to spot for many of our anniversaries, and just when we have special times, we always seem to go back to different ones and different places that we're at. So, how about you?
Well, before I say where we went for our first date, let me talk about Cheesecake Factory. Let me just say this, although I think didn't they say they're all closing now after this pandemic? But
no,
I'm not sure about that. Well, anyway, they should. No, I shouldn't say that. But to me, the seating was so close together in that place that my wife would just laugh at me, because if we were on a date there, I just wouldn't talk because I thought everyone's going to hear what we're saying. I did not like that. But we went to a not always liked Santa Monica. And so we went down to 3rd Street Promenade, and there was an Italian restaurant. I think it was called Bravo Cucina or something like that. It's closed now. I don't know if we caused that or not, but yeah, so that's what we did. Well, we're back on this. Not that your first date is a reason for lament, by the way. That's not what, there's no connection. Okay. We're just trying to have you get to know, or have people get to know you a little. We're back on this topic of lament, and it is a big topic. And you and I talked even after the last episode about how big this topic is, and we're hoping to just whet people's appetites and hopefully encourage them to think more deeply, run to the scriptures and to understand. But as we're kind of processing this, one of the things that we wanted to think about are what are the hindrances to lament for Christians today? So, you know, obviously, in some sense, we said we don't talk about it very much. So we're not necessarily opening the doors and inviting the lamenters in or them to come out of their shells. What do you see, Roger, as some of the key hindrances to lament for today's Christians?
Yeah, I think a couple areas I think we have both inside the church and outside the church. You know, if we just look at our culture that we're in, we live in a culture where we want to avoid suffering and pain. We want to avoid death. We want to avoid all those things that go wrong in life. And so we don't want to talk about those often, but we know we have to deal with the reality. But sometimes in the church, I think it seeps in a little bit subtly, where this might sound bad, but we come to church with our happy Sunday faces on, and we don't want to talk about what's really going on in our lives, what we really might be struggling with that week. And sometimes we go in service and we start singing songs, and the songs are very joyful and happy, which are good. We should be praising the Lord.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're struggling and wrestling inside, but we're just around so much of, you know, it feels wrong, joy, that it doesn't give us room to express what's going on inside. And so I think those are just some of the things off the top of my mind that kind of hinder us from wanting to talk about lamenting.
Do you think that to many people, lament would be a sign of weakness? Do you think that they think,
Yeah, I mean, right, because we're supposed to have it all together. You know, we even think of, I think sometimes of, you know, phrases we use or, you know, maturing in our faith where we have this strong faith and we don't realize that, you know, we're working against ourselves, because being strong in the Lord and depending on Him means that we're weak in ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's hard to express that. Like, how am I going to come to you Sunday morning and say, hey, you know, I'm so weak this week. I'm struggling. I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm doubting Him, you know, and not feel a sense of shame. It's just natural to feel that sense of, wow, you're going to view me differently now that I've just shown you that I'm not as far along as I want to portray to others. Yeah. So it can kind of hide what's really going on in our soul.
Do you think that maybe people in our church, or not just our church, obviously in the church in general, have felt like they've been received that way too many times, so that they're, that even if they have tried to be open about their lament and their pain and their struggle, that, you know, maybe the person who was hearing it, maybe they were looking down at them. Maybe they did express shock, like, oh, why are you? Because I'll be honest, I remember as a young Christian that I did not believe it was possible for a Christian to be depressed. What do you mean? If you're a Christian, you have the joy of the Lord, and you can't be depressed. And then the Lord just kind of smacked me around a little bit and allowed me to go through a time of what I can only describe as depression as a Christian. But until I had that bedside manner, so to speak, that experience that allowed me to have better bedside manner, I received, just like you said, I kind of was like, oh, why would you be going through doubt? You must not be a really mature Christian.
Yep. Yeah. I think we can have that sense, you know, and I don't think we're helpful to others when either we think, okay, what's wrong with this person? They're not strong in their faith. But think of the pat answers we give people sometimes. Mm. You know, I'll pray for you. God's in control. Don't worry. It's all going to be okay. God is good. Right now, I don't feel like God is good. That's not helpful to me. You know, I think we mean well, kind of like Job's friends did, and we say things too quickly, and we forget that we're in process, and that when you talk about lament, it's a process you have to go through, and you cannot define it for another person. You cannot define how long somebody may struggle or go through sorrow. That's not for us to determine. We're supposed to walk alongside people and help point them to dependence on the Lord. But maybe we hinder that effort because we make it seem so easy. Like you're saying, you know, you're a Christian. You should have the joy of the Lord. What's to be sad about? Yeah. But we forget, our theology isn't matching with our experience of life in a broken world, because we still live here the brokenness around us. So
it's interesting. I was thinking that you've got a couple of things that go on here. One, for the person who is responding to the lamenter, the one who's lamenting, we sometimes, if I'm the one responding, sometimes I feel like, and I think Job's friends felt this, like they have to defend God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Wait a minute. Yeah. Are you saying that God is not good? You know, and the person might want to say, I'm not sure what I'm saying. I'm just in pain right now.
Yeah.
And we're here, but how dare you? But hold on, let me show you Grudem systematic, and let me show you Burkhoff, and let me, what do you mean? But God is good. It's one of the incommunicable attributes. I don't know. I guess that's one of the communicable attributes. But anyway, the point is, you know, I think we're out there to defend God, and He doesn't really need our defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of, I've been actually reading Job as part of my time in the Word. And I think that's part of the problem with Job's friends. They kind of think they're defending God, but they're missing part of God's character in their defense.
And they're even trying to figure Him out, Right. Yeah, they're trying to say if you didn't sin, then you wouldn't suffer. And they're simplifying it too much. Yeah. Scriptures aren't that simplistic. You know, they're wondering what's going on. And you just can't figure God out. You don't need to define that for people. You don't need to understand to trust God. And that's where I think we get stuck is we naturally want to understand our lives. We want to understand how the dots connect. But I think even as we were talking about the book last time, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, mm-hmm. that he even talks there in that book about how there'll be times where you're trusting God and you can't connect the dots of how it's all going to work out. You just don't know. But you're believing and trusting in his promises and that he's faithful. You know, and you see that in scripture. You see David cry out in the Psalms. You know, whenever at the end of the Psalm did all of life get figured out and he had all the explanation? I think he was left unexplained in most of the lament Psalms, but he trusted God. He led to that, okay, I'm going to turn to you, God, even though this doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah, there's that remembering the God he has this relationship with and all the things of the past that he's able to remember through the lament. But you said something, interesting about, you know, or we were just talking about this idea of we got to be patient. There's no mm-hmm. timetable on this. And I was thinking another reason, another hindrance, another kind of obstacle to allowing this open lament within the church is that so again, if I'm not the one who's lamenting, sometimes I can misinterpret the lament as pride. Because again, how dare you think those things about yourself versus God? I don't deserve this, et cetera.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it could be pride, right? And I think that causes some tension too, because I loved what Vrugop said. He said, it's permissible to ask pain-filled questions as long as you're coming in humility.
Yeah.
And he reminded us of that humility before God. And I wanted to add, when I read that, I wanted to add that, yes, as long as you come in humility and are willing to hear his response in his timing.
Yeah.
Right. This humble cry of the heart, not this entitled cry of the heart, but this mm-hmm. broken cry of the heart. And sometimes I think it's not the place of the brother or sister in Christ to determine if that person is proud in their coming. I honestly don't think it's our place. Sometimes we think it's our place, and that's where we go wrong as the body of Christ around that person. And then as the lamenter, we go wrong when we're come in bitterness and anger and pride rather than hurt, yes, broken, yes, pain, yes, but humility before God.
And that humility is so important because one of the things God does in all of our lives is change us.
Yeah.
And if he's changing us and using everything to work through that process, if we're prideful and all we want is escape or we want explanation, but we don't want the internal change, then the process is shortcutted. We're just thinking about ourselves and we're so self-focused, but we're forgetting, no, God's working something in us for even others. I mean, not to go on a rabbit trail, but we're comforted so we can comfort others, right? That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. And there's a part of that the lamenting process helps us to do. But I just think that it gives that language, that cry of the heart to be honest and real. And I think we were talking, you know, about being transparent or authentic with what's mm-hmm. going on inside. But that's good for our souls. We're not hiding. I think of all people, shouldn't we be the ones that are able to face the brokenness because we know the promise?
Yeah.
The world has no hope, but why should we hide from it? It's not like we're exempt from suffering the same exact type of suffering others have. We shouldn't just run from it and think, you know, we're Christians and now we're blessed. Well, we may be blessed with hard times so we can be, you know, blessed with trusting God more and depending on him, not so much this world. But
you know, it reminds me, and it's something, again, we addressed, these topics are that we've been addressing over the last number of weeks have been really related. In fact, mm-hmm. you know, this is connected to providence. This is connected to Romans 8:28. Yeah. This is connected to understanding what is the good that God is talking about there, because it's not how we define good. So kind of thinking through all these things, but there's something more as we're thinking about the church, because that's who we are. We're churchmen. We're elders in a church. We love the people within the body at our church. We're talking about hindrances to lament, and there's a lot of pain in our church body. Mm-hmm. And I think they come and privately speak to us, but are they speaking to each other, and are we yeah. open to lament? That's a, you know, a big question. But you were talking about other hindrances, and I would like you to address the one that you had brought up off the air to me about even how we sing songs and hymns in our church.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the psalm and you look at a lot of these are sung, they're singing about times of sorrow and pain along with trusting God. But when we look at a lot of the music we sing, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just the observations I'm seeing, is that a lot of it is about the joy we have in the Lord, or they're sung to just very not being very positive, but they're just they're happy and joyful. They're meant to lift our spirits up. That's what I'm trying to say, yeah. And they're not the reality of things are really hard at times. A majority of what we sing, or we sing about God's character, we sing about those things, and those are good. But often I think that sometimes the music isn't the reality, that we can be in service. And I've been in service sometimes where my heart is aching and I really don't feel like singing the joy of the Lord in my heart. I have no joy in the Lord in my heart at that moment. And I feel like I'm avoiding what's going on inside by singing something I don't feel at that moment, or I may be struggling to trust. You just have those times in life where things test you, right? And you can walk into service and feel, okay, I don't want to make people, you know, feel or have to say something that maybe not is true at that moment, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a struggle. You can't know where everybody is, and we know that we're all coming in different places. But
yeah,
overall, do you feel that when we sing, you know, and you've been in different contexts of churches than I've been in the past, but do you feel most of it is on a kind of a more celebration and not so much seeing yeah. some of the sorrow side?
It's interesting. So a few comments on that. One is that I have noticed not only in our church, but I remember visiting a church even recently where every song that was sung was victory, victory, victory. And it was victory that sure sounded like victory and triumph in a very human, materialistic way almost. And it was like, we're blessed. We're going to be victors no matter what. Don't let anything get you down and all these things. And then, like you're saying, I was like, well, what about the person who comes in with a broken heart? What words, because Vrogot talks about lament just gives us the right words to speak of in that brokenness, you know, to yeah. use that brokenness. And I was thinking of my significant faux pas as a lead pastor, because Pastor Haig, our dear brother, has brought to me some songs or has sung some songs where later I've said, well, you know, not everyone is in that brokenness and then that time of lament. maybe we shouldn't sing that song. And it's only thinking about this topic that's made me go, oh boy. Yeah. Wow. We need to be singing these songs. So yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I think you're absolutely right. I think the book made a point that a third of the Psalms, right, are yeah. Psalms of lament of some sort. And if you think about the fact that the Psalms are meant to be a hymn book, so to speak, for yeah. God's people, that's a big deal. It would give us the language with which to cry out.
And think about it. It's not the crying out with no hope. It's right. crying out in hope. And that's what makes it so powerful, is because you can express those times of raw emotion or suffering with the hope of God, with the hope of his character and the hope of the gospel, all of that hope that we contain. That's where we're led with the true lament from the Bible. And so doing that in song makes it even more powerful to get there, because I think of it like this: you may not be there today, but you will one day. Live long enough and you're going to suffer. I can't tell you the degree, but I can promise you're going to suffer in some degree or another. So,
you know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about, so we're talking about worship and thinking about the church body and how we can, you know, sometimes we can be a hindrance to people opening up and lamenting. And I was thinking that maybe there's something else here too, that we need to see more of. I'll say it in our church, probably in many other churches too, is when we're out on a retreat, a church retreat, one of the greatest joys for me is to see our people kind of off to the sides, gathered together, talking and praying together about what's going on in their lives. I don't see that as much right after church on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's a different time. The retreat's for that more genuine, authentic, you know, Christian life. But every Sunday morning should be, we should have small groups praying together, praying over people, just encouraging this openness, and not openness for the sake of openness or gossip or anything like that, which can happen. Well, that'll be another episode that we address, but a real spiritual vulnerability and openness, so that we can walk with each other in people's grief and lamenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it even connects us together with one another in bearing the burdens. That's what we're called to do as Christians, to bear one another, others' burdens, to lift each other up. And maybe we feel like we want to come and we just want to enjoy the service and go home, forgetting that our call is to love one another. And are we doing that well? How can we give opportunities to do that and to love one another through whatever is going on, to really ask the question, how are you doing? Not just a quick hi, you know, to people we see, but there's a lot of opportunities for us to grow in this.
Definitely. And it's an interesting, we don't have the time to go into this too much, but it'd be interesting to kind of get the perspective. And like you said, we've all kind of gone through some suffering, but I'd like to get the perspective of someone who's kind of currently going through that suffering, to hear what was effective and what's not effective from the body around you. What blesses your heart and what just kind of makes you want to go, you know, you just don't understand. Or, 'cause sometimes I think we can be more harmful than helpful with the flippant things that we say. And just so people know, look, I've been pastoring for a long time. I still put my foot in my mouth all the time in this case. I'd rather just be silent, which I think sometimes is the best thing, but it takes wisdom and the Spirit's leading. And so, well, again, we're so much to talk about on this. Maybe we'll come back to another episode at some point, or I don't know, but hopefully we've whetted people's appetites to dig into this topic more, because it is real. It's important. It's something that our people in our own church, as well as I know throughout Christ's church around the world, are dealing with. And we hope that this just kind of piqued our interest and helps us to want to delve into it more. Before we go off though, Roger, what are some takeaways for you? Something you want to keep thinking about?
Yeah, I want to keep thinking about just ways that we can overcome some of these hindrances or address them. I think they're important. As you say, we put our foot in our mouth at times. We all say things too quickly. We all say things that are unhelpful at times, and we learn from those. But still thinking through, how do we put it in place? How do we really care for one another on a Sunday? Mm. How do we do that without making it awkward? How do we start walking people on the path of lament that helps them get to depending and trusting in the Lord more. So,
yeah. It's interesting since you brought that up. It just, this book triggered a thought in my mind when he talked about the way that one person had prayed for him while he was going through his lament. And I think people don't understand how encouraging it can be that when they don't have the right words, you know, we talk about the Spirit who groans on our behalf, but sometimes it's nice to have a brother or a sister pray on our behalf and fight for us on their knees. And, you know, that's what we want to do, is fight for each other in prayer, even, and defend each other in prayer and cry out to the Lord together. So yeah, there's a lot on this topic. And I just want to think about this, how does even the way we structure our worship service allow for those going through these times to have the right gospel words to go through this process in a healthy way? So how can we restructure things? How can we structure things to make this a better process for everyone who's going to go through suffering, certainly at some point? So, well, we do hope that you enjoyed this time of kind of exploring this theme of lament, and particularly hindrances to lament. And lots more, obviously, to think about, and hope that you'll join us the next time as we dive into some other topic and think biblically about discipleship and in our lives. God bless. If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.